To Matthew chapter 18. And while you're turning, I've got several announcements to make before I read the scripture and pray. Remember dinner next Sunday, then we're going to have chicken from the state park. So you bring whatever goes with chicken. And we'll look forward to that next week. And Debbie's sister Pam had a hip replacement here a while back, and it's really been bothering her here lately. She got to go to the doctor tomorrow. She heard a pop the other day, and I hope that they can fix that for her because it's awful to be in pain. And Herman went to the hospital last Wednesday afternoon down in Murfreesboro in the VA. His brother Carl took him down, and he had a heart arrhythmia. They said it was minor, and they're trying to do that, but the cough that he's had the last couple of weeks was fluid around his heart. So he's still down there. Friday, he was fine. He's in a room by himself, and the weekend shift down there won't answer the phone. And in the morning, you'll be able to call him. I'll be able to call him and find out, get to talk to him. But he's doing fine, probably get to come home Monday. And then last but not least, Shirley's dad died yesterday afternoon. All the kids was with him, and he took a turn real quick. And she got to talk to him a little bit yesterday afternoon on the phone. And everyone was with him, and she was really close to her dad. And she worked with him in his shop, and so it's been very hard on her. We're heading up that way tomorrow. He asked me quite a while ago to take care of the services for him. So I'm going to be taking care of the services for him up there. And Lord willing, we'll leave tomorrow and be back Friday evening. But we're all headed that way. Yeah. Okay, let's read here in Matthew. I want to start reading in verse 21 and read down through verse 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Look with me back here then in Matthew 18. I want to talk about forgiveness this morning. Forgiveness. Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, how oft, in verse 21, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How oft? You know, to forgive someone, and forgiveness is to dismiss is to release, it's to leave or abandon what you might hold against them. Forgiveness means to restore someone to their original condition. Restore someone to their original condition. Did not God, in His sovereign mercy and abundant grace, restore us from an awful condition that we were in? Huh? Our original condition was sin, not just sinners, sin. And we were sinners because we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that's our condition. Lost without God, lost without Christ, without hope in this world. And God, in His blessed sovereign mercy, took us from that condition and restored us to that condition as if we had never sinned. Took all our sin away. The Scripture says that He put them in a bag, throwed them in the sea, cast them behind His back, sent them as far as the east is from the west, blotted them out as a thick cloud. And David asked this question, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, who in the world would be able to stand? And everybody would have to, anybody that's got any sense at all would have to back up and say, well, I can't stand. I can't stand. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand and abide in the presence of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, he that hath a pure heart, he that's not lifted his soul up to vanity. Well, I can't go, but there's one who did go, who had holy hands, had a pure heart, never lifted his soul up to vanity. And so when David said, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would be able to stand? You know what he said in the next verse? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And he said, and then the next line says this, and there is plenteous redemption with thee. Plenteous. You know, that's what the gospel starts with. The gospel starts with forgiveness. That's why we preach the gospel for, is that men may understand that God will forgive sin. And He forgives it on the basis of what Christ did, not because man deserves it, not because man merits it. If God ever forgives a man's sin, it's because Christ paid for that sin. And the gospel starts out telling men how sin is forgiven, and how that God Himself will take, and then not only did He say it, forgive it, but then He said, I'll never remember them against them ever again. And that's what the gospel starts with. That's the whole thing about the gospel, is our forgiveness. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. Covered with what? Covered with the blood, washed away with the blood, under the mercy seat. And so we start out, the gospel starts out with this business about forgiven. Colossians 1:13, I believe, says this, you hath He quickened who were dead in sins, having forgiven you all your trespasses. How many of you reckon that is? If any of you all ever seen a trespassing, no trespassing sign on a piece of property and go anyway, go ahead and cross over the fence anyway? Have any of y'all ever done that? I've done that more times than you can count. I've done that I don't know how many times. Well, and that's what God says that we do with His law. He said He won't hold our trespasses. All the boundaries, He's got no trespass. Don't go past this here, because if you do, that's sin, and I'll punish you for your sin, and I'll hold it against you. Well, we trespass and trespass, and then the Scripture says, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Every time you cross the line, God said, I have forgiven you every single one of them. That's how the gospel starts. That's how the gospel starts. And I know this. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. That person, that soul that's been forgiven of sin, that soul that's been restored back to the condition of having not sinned, the sin has been dismissed, has been released from the penalty of it. The case against him has been dismissed before God. He's been just thrown away as if it did not happen. And I say that forgiveness is the basic quality of a believer. A believer, it's as easy for him to forgive. It's as easy for him to forget. It's as easy for him to forgive what people do to them and how they treat them as it is for water to run downhill. That's a basic quality of being a believer. Having been forgiven, You cannot help but forgive. Having been loved, you cannot help but love. It just can't. And without forgiveness, we wouldn't have any Christian. We wouldn't have believers. We wouldn't have Christianity. Without God having forgiven us, we couldn't meet here this morning. And without us forgiving one another, slights and things like that, we couldn't meet here this morning. He said, "Whoa, the offenses must come. They're going to come." But that's just such a basic quality. And I tell you what, without forgiveness, we wouldn't have justification. And we'd all be without hope and under just condemnation without forgiveness. And that'd be an awful state to be in, wouldn't it? Huh? But I want to look at this business of forgiveness. Look down here in verse 15. What our Lord gives a simple, important way to reconcile disputes. He says in verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," there's that word trespass against, "go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." When you say forgive me, it ought to be just like that, gone. "And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word be established." And so our Lord Jesus tells us here about forgiveness. And now back in verse 21 here, look what Peter said. Our Lord said that. He said, if your brother trespass against you, tell him. And then he said, Peter had a problem with this simple twist question of forgiveness. And so he questioned his master for understanding. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" 7 times. He said, "How long will I have to put up with somebody that sins against me?" You know, if there's got to be a stopping point, there's got to be a quittance point, there's got to be a place where you forget it. When they act in such a certain way that you just, forgive them 7 times. Ain't that enough? What if God done us that way? Whew! And that's what Peter said. Oh, listen. There's got to be a place where you don't have to deal with this after a while. And that's what he's talking about. He had a problem with it. And Peter missed the whole point that our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. The very question revealed that he didn't know what forgiveness was and what it meant. Am I just supposed to forgive a fellow 7 times? Now he knew he had to forgive his brother. He knew that. He understood that. He knew that he wasn't supposed to hold a grudge and to restore him to fellowship. But how many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to do this? There's got to be and if forgiveness, and this is what where Simon Peter's at, he said, what he's saying is, after 7 times, I'm going to store in my mind how many times they do it, and there's got to be a time that I'm not going to say that anymore. And if forgiveness ain't real, it's to be stored in the memory. If forgiveness not real. And that's why Simon Peter said, I've heard people say this. Oh, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people say, "I can forgive, but I just can't forget." Well, that means that you ain't forgiven. If you ain't forgiven. Now, does God hold our sins in His memory? What did God say about our sins? He said that He wouldn't even remember them against us again. And and our Lord said, "Everyone that cometh to me," he said, "there's nothing they'll ever do that'll cost me to cast them out." And that's what Simon Peter said here after 7 times, said, "I'm done." And if our Lord treated us that way, there wouldn't be a soul in this building this morning. There wouldn't be a person in this building this morning. And so he goes on and he said, surely. And that's what he's saying, I'll forgive them 7 times and I'll wait and just see how they do, whether I'll forgive them again or not. And he says, surely 7 times is enough. That's what Simon Peter's saying. Well, ain't Peter being real good and ain't Peter being real gracious to forgive someone 7 times? Boy, that's good and gracious. That's a good, gracious thing to do. Have you ever felt that way, that some got more chances than they deserved? I tell you, even with my children, I live in hope. I live in hope of my children. I may be gone before they ever be believers. But I live in hope that one of these days, God in His sovereign mercy will cross their path and forgive them. But have you ever felt that someone got more chances than they deserved? Well, look what our Lord answers Simon Peter in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until 7 times." Oh no, 7 times. That's nothing. But and he multiplies it by 10. He multiplies 7 times 10. And then multiplies 7 again. Until 7 times, no, Simon Peter, until 70 times 7. He uses a definite number to teach an indefinite amount of time. An indefinite amount of time. And oh my, what our Lord is saying to Simon Peter, there's no limit. There's no limit. No limit to how often you forgive someone. No limit. No limit. No limit at all. Huh? If a person is keeping track of the number of times that they forgive somebody or they need forgiveness, then they ain't forgiving at all. They're not forgiving at all. And this is teaching us that man and God are that we're not like God at all. But God teach us to this business of this right here. Does God keep a record on us? Does God keep a record on us? I remember reading about Martin Luther. God used him mightily. He said he had a dream. And Satan came to him and took all of his sins and rolled out a great old big scroll. Great old big scroll, as far as you could see. And all of his sins on that scroll. Said, looky here, Martin Luther. Look at all your sins. And Martin Luther said, yes. Yes, I did every one of them and more. But he said, look at the bottom of the list. Signed in blood. Signed with the blood of the Lamb of God. All my sins are gone. And that's what happens, you know, our sins are gone. And that's what our Lord's teaching us here. When a brother or somebody sins against you, they're gone. You say, they're gone. You know, you see children playing. I see little old children playing, especially little girls. Little girls are the worst in the world. You get 3 or 4 girls together and they're running off saying, oh, so-and-so, she's paying more attention to her than she is me, and so-and-so didn't say this to me and that to me and this other thing. Next thing you know, they just, you know, holding things against one another, and then after a while it's all gone, they're all sitting down playing jacks or playing dolls. They get over it that quick. And that's what our Lord's teaching us, isn't he? And we're not children. Oh, does God keep a record on us? And oh, brethren, we must do this. God can enable us. And then, oh, and listen, if you've got hurts, if your feelings are hurt or you've had injuries, take them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take them to Him. And this parable teaches us and illustrates forgiveness. And therefore, beloved, if we understand why we ought to forgive and what forgiveness is in, we would never ask how often. How often? How often? Oh my. Have you ever asked God how often He's going to do this for you? In our Lord's illustration of forgiveness, look what He said here in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He's got servants, and he sat down one day and said, I'm going to take account of them. I'm going to go through my books. Going to go through my records. And I'm going to take account of my servants. Where they're at, what they do, what they owe. And so he begins to take account. And when he had begun to reckon up these different accounts, he said, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. You know how much 10,000, that's silver now, 10,000 talents. You know what, at the prices of silver right now, that's about right at around $10 million. That's the most expensive debt you could have. 10,000 talents. That would be right at like $10 million today in today's silver market. If you had 10 talents of silver, you could go and sell it today and come home with $10 million. Now that's how much this man owed this king. And okay, but before as much as he had not to pay. Oh my. That's the situation. That's the situation. He didn't have nothing to pay. And his Lord commanded him to be sold. And oh, his debt was immense. And he didn't think about it until the king called him to give an account. And that's what happens to us. We don't think we owe anything until the king calls and gives me an account. And we say, I ain't got nothing. What am I going to pay with? And look what happens to him. He said, sell all of his family and his wife and his children till the payment be made. Huh? And our sins, beloved, are as talents. They're all great. And this is the reason why, because they're against God. Men likes to think in terms of great sins and small sins. But there's no such thing. Sin is sin. I know the way men judge sin is, you know, this sin here is greater than this one. I tell you what, this sin here is greater than that one. But I tell you what, if you ever, God ever teach you what sin is, you know who will be the greatest sinner there is? You will. You will. I read a thing that a man wrote yesterday. He said, oh, self-righteousness, I abhor self-righteousness. And you know where I abhor that more than any place else? In me. And a man that don't need forgiveness, he's self-righteous. And a man who won't forgive is self-righteousness. And our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what they say, my sins, is anybody here got greater sins than anybody else? And our Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you what, if He give an account of us today, we'd owe a lot more than this man owed. I mean, you think about from the day you was born, and you have come out of your mother's womb, you come out of your mother's womb speaking lies, you come out of your mother's womb as a dead dog sinner with your hands against God. And we lived our lives like that until God Himself called to give us an account. And beloved, when we gave it, He said, I ain't got nothing to pay. But oh, all sin is treason. All sin's great. The account beast may be small, but it's a great sin. It's just like a baby rattlesnake. How you know you'd get scared to death to see a rattlesnake that long? 18, 20 rattlers on it. Oh my goodness, that'd scare you to death. But that little old baby rattler about that long, just come out from under the log, come out of his mama's belly. That little old fella about that long, he's just as deadly as his daddy. Huh? And that's the way sin is. There, you know, it may be just a little rattlesnake, but it's deadly. And oh my, Dow Davis says, my sins are more than the hairs of my head. How about you? How about me? Can you count up your debt of sin? Huh? Do you know how many times you committed sin against God? And then look what the king had the right to do. And this is his legal right. This is what the law does. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. This is the way when debts aren't paid, you lose everything. This man lost everything. It sounds harsh, it sounds cruel, it sounds brutal, but it's the law. The law don't know nothing about mercy. Sell him as a slave. Sell him as a slave. Take his whole family. He's got a debt. That makes his family in debt. Just take the whole family and be shed of them. Just be shed of them. He won't bring enough to even begin to pay the debt. Neither will his wife and his children. They won't be able to begin to pay the debt. And oh, but justice requires it. But justice requires it. And look what this debtor did. Look what this man did that owed all this money, that owed this, and all our sins against God. Oh, my soul, how many are there? The servant there fell down. Therefore fell down. Got on his knees. And that word worship there, that means that he showed great respect to him. He didn't actually worship him like we'd worship the Lord. Showed great, great respect to him. And look what he said. He said, Lord, and this is where he really messed up. Now you think about this. Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you. I'll pay you every bit of it. I don't know where I'll get $10 million. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I don't know how I'm going to pay off my debts. But if you'll just be patient with me, and that's where he messed up, said, I'll pay you. And that's where sinners really mess up when they think they can pay God. Oh, I'd pay God for my sin. I'll start living right. I'll start doing better. I'll be a better wife. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better brother. I'll be a better sister. I'll start doing better. Listen, just be patient with me and I'll pay you what I owe you. And the very fact that he thought he could pay. How are we going to pay? Who can pay? Who can pay? Oh, my. And oh, it was easy for him to promise. But how long would it take this penniless bankrupt to raise $1 million, much less 10 million? Huh? Oh, he said more than he could make good. And that's what men and women do, as sinners do, when they think they can pay God. Huh? And oh, he said more than he could make good. This is not the language of a man before the throne of God. Oh my, I don't promise. Did you ever promise to pay? Oh, my. We don't have nothing to pay with. Brad said this the other night over there when we was having supper. He said this. He says, you know, said when God deals with you, he said he shows you that there's absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. That you're in the hands of God. He can save you, but you can't, even after you're saved, there's nothing you can do to get God to do anything for you. And that's what this fella says. He said, oh my. He said, oh, we have, and then listen, we ain't got nothing to pay. We didn't promise, I don't promise to pay. I don't promise to pay now. And oh my, we have nothing to pay with. We can't match satisfaction with our debt. All the promises of the future and all the labors of the future will not pay off one past sin. It's guilt. If you rat today, said from now on, I'm going to live and I'm not going to sin anymore. Who's going to pay for yesterday's sin? Who's going to pay for yesterday's sin? And that's what this fella says. Said, I'm going to pay you. Just be patient with me and I'll pay you. That's not the language of a believer. No, no. There's only one who could blot out that handwriting, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ, and He died to put all the handwriting that was against us out of the way. You see, this man's prayer is not the prayer of a man who is penitent, but a petition. And that king who seems so harsh now is incredibly merciful. Look what he said in verse 27. Oh, he became so incredibly merciful. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. He knew that this man couldn't pay this debt. He knew it. And then he was moved with compassion, loosed him, let him go free. I'm not going to sell you now. I'm not going to make you as a slave. Loosed him, and listen to this, forgave him the debt. Oh, my. Ain't that the way our Lord is? So incredibly merciful. Oh, the ways of God. The king knew he couldn't pay that debt. God knows we can't pay the debt. And He's never asked us to pay the debt. There's only one person He ever required to pay the debt. And that was His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only person that He ever required to pay the debt. That's the only person. And oh my, God is so incredibly merciful and gracious and kind and forgiving. But now look what this fella does. Shows you that He didn't know nothing about forgiveness either. Look what it says now. He was forgiven, the forgiven debtor in his debt. But oh, the same servant, look what happened now in verse 28. That same servant went out. You would have thought, oh my, I'm so thankful. You would have thought he'd have turned around and kissed that king and fell around on his neck and just hugged him and kissed him and thanked him and blessed him and praised him and would have been so, just overjoyed. But look what he does. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Found somebody just like himself. Somebody just like himself. Which owed 100 pence. In today's money, that's about $200. 1/100th of what this other fellow owed. I mean, you can't even compare what he owed compared to what the other man owed. Not even close. And most of us, if we owe $200, we could go pay it off. Most of us, if we had $200 debt right now, we could come up with $200 and go pay it. I believe everybody in this building could do that today. But look what this fellow said. He owed him 100 pence. And when he laid hands, look what he did. And he laid hands on him. He reached and laid hands on him. And look what it says. Got him by the throat. Got him like this here. Got him like that right there. Pull him up to him. Got him. Got him. Now, he had just been forgiven by the king. Because the king was moved with compassion and forgave his debt. And he got a hold of that fella and grabbed him up by the throat. Pay me what you owe me. Pay me and pay me now. $200. Ah, oh my. Oh, look at what he promised and the difference in his conduct, his demeanor on these separate occasions. And oh my, he grabbed this fella by the throat, said, pay me what you owe. Before he was afraid, begging, pleading, now he's harsh. Now he's demanding. He pleaded for mercy, now he growls. Pay me what you owe me. Pay me what you owe me. In other words, listen, it don't care what God's done for me. You owe me something. I don't care what God's done for me. You owe me something. You owe me some respect. You owe me this. You owe me that. You know, whenever somebody starts saying you owe me something, there ain't no forgiveness in it. That's like this man right here. He said, pay me what you owe. He just came through the experience that should have made him tender, made him compassionate, made him understanding, made him loving, made him forgiving. But what did he do? His heart is so hard. His memory was that short. He went out immediately and found this man. And he takes this fellow servant. He built the same fellow servant to people just like himself. A servant. And says the same words a minute ago. Look what this man said to him. And his fellow servant, verse 29, fell down at his feet and besought him. Did exactly the same thing he did with the king. But he's not in the presence of the king now. He said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And what he owed him was paltry, paltry debt. And this is what this man just said to himself. And then just immediately he goes out and gets another fella. And that fella gets down and said, patient, please be patient with me. Please be patient with me. And I'll be able to pay you. I will. Huh? I'll be able to forgive you. But look what he does. He exercises his rights. He uses the law against him. He wants his pound of flesh. And look what he says in verse 30. And he would not. I'm not going to be patient with you. I'm not going to forgive you of your debt. I'm not going to forgive you that little old paltry sum that you owe me. I'm not going to forgive you. You owe it to me, and I tell you what, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. And look what he said. So when his fellow, he said he would not, but he did just exactly what the king was going to do to him. Now look what he did. And he would not, and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Could you pay a debt if you was in jail? But that's what he did. He said, what? The very law that forgave him and showed compassion on him and mercy on him, he turned around and used it against his fellow servant. Oh, my. He said he wants his rights. And God's rights are over us, are greater than any rights we have over one another. But he ignores that. Could a man treat another man like this? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I could use several illustrations of people that I've dealt with over the years and people that's dealt with me and dealt with one another. And I say it without any reservation, that is, it's natural for a believer to forgive another believer as it is to breathe. It is. It's just as natural as anything. It's as natural as anything. Could a man treat another man like this? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Have you ever, and have I ever, pigeonholed an offense, treasure it up, take something somebody's done, put it up here. Somebody slighted you. Somebody said something and it rubbed you the wrong way. It's a penny against $100. How in the world could we, who have been forgiven of so much, and forgiven every day, not be a forgiving people? Huh? Some will leave, and this is the way human nature is. And the next person who rubs them the wrong way or harms them, they'll mark that act and be unmerciful and ask for unforgiving. You see, we all have this human heart, this awful human heart. And what this man did is all too natural to all of us. But you know what his sin was? Having been forgiven, he did not forgive. Having been forgiven, he did not forgive. Having been forgiven, he did not forgive. Well, look what our Lord said happens to people that don't forgive, like this man here. This man didn't forgive. Look what happens. So when his fellow servants, verse 31, saw what was done, they were very sorry. Very, very sorry. You get so sorry, you know, you get to feeling bad and of people that's hard and critical. And I remember years ago, one time I got into it, and oh, it was nothing you could say to make that man forgive. Nothing I could say or do to make that man forgive me. And everybody there saw and, I begged him. Said, please be merciful to me. Can't you got mercy? He said, no, I ain't got no mercy for you. And he left, and he was called he was some kind of a preacher. And he went to his house and started having meetings in his house. Invite him back, asking for his forgiveness. Won't come back. And look what he says here. And they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. They come, told the Lord. That's what we do. We come, tell the Lord. Say, Lord, you know what's going on. Lord, you got control over our hearts. You got control over our minds. You got control over us. And Lord, please touch my heart. Please move in my heart. And that's why they said they told the Lord everything that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, this is what he called him this time. Oh, you wicked servant. I forgave you all your debt because you desired me to do it. I forgave all of it. All of it. And the king got angry. And you know our consciences work quickly over other people's faults rather than our own. And that king was angry. And that harsh, unforgiving spirit and attitude of this one whom had been merciful and forgiving towards raised his righteous indignation. And he said in verse 33, shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you treated him like I treated you? Shouldn't you done him just like I did you? Shouldn't you have been forgiving? Shouldn't you be compassionate? Couldn't you have pity on him? Couldn't you do that? Huh? And all the unmerciful of this man was a horrible sin. And oh, God put him right back on the ground this man wanted to stand on. The man wanted to be unmerciful, unforgiving, after this king had forgiven him. And this king put him right back on the ground he started out with before. Put that debt right back on him. And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know, there's nothing worse than have something on your mind, something in your heart, or something that you just can't let go of. And I heard Tim James say one time, to have something against somebody and wish ill or something about them, it's like you taking the poison and it hurts you. It don't hurt the other person. It hurts you. That's the person it hurts. The person that you don't forgive and the person that you're unmerciful to, it ain't going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you. It's going to eat on you. It's going to bother you. And that's what happened here. And he said, you know, the tormentors till he should pay always his due. And he put him right back where God put him again. And if we ever, God have mercy on us, if we ever treat people like this, we bring ourselves back under the guilt and condemnation. A person can't be like this and be conscious of the love of God at the same time and be like this. And then look what he said in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts. Now he goes to the heart of the matter now. Your hearts. This business of salvation is a heart work. If you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. How much time are we allowed before we think things are right, before we can forgive somebody? What sin could we sin against one another that we could not forgive one another? What sin could we do? Could we lie, cheat, steal, something worse? How much time are we allowed to think about forgiving him or not? Huh? And this verse of Scripture, this parable, teaches us two great things. The foundation of all mercifulness and all forgiveness in men is receiving mercy and forgiveness from God. You got to experience it before you can exercise it. If you had been forgiven, you can't forgive. If you had God has shown you mercy, then you can't show mercy. And the second thing, we must exercise this, like exercise forgiveness and mercy and pity and kindness and compassion, if we desire to continue to experience that from God. Our Lord Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now I want you to look with me in Ephesians 5, and I'll close with this. Ephesians 5. This is where the gospel starts. Starts with forgiveness. Look what he said here in verse 30 of Ephesians 4. Start in verse 30 of Ephesians 4. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That word grieve there means is that, you know, that that don't offend him. Don't offend him. Don't make him hurt inside you, the Spirit of God that's inside you, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And he says, this are the things that would grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that word clamor means making a lot of noise and having a lot of action towards something that's going on. And stop all evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. Malice is an ill will towards somebody. And he says, this is the way you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. How tender-hearted is our Lord Jesus? He'd be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We've come to a throne of grace to obtain mercy in the time of need. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, listen to it, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and listen to this, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a sweet smelling savor. Our Father, in the blessed, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that there is forgiveness with thee. Thank you that our sins are forgiven, that you've not imputed our iniquities against us and to us. Lord, oh, you're so kind, you're so gracious, and you are pitiful. You show great pity to us because you remember that we're but dust, that our frames are just dust, that we're so weak, so frail. And, O Lord, I ask forgiveness for myself, and I ask forgiveness of all this congregation for anything I've said, done, or acted in any way that would dishonor you and shame you. God, have mercy on me. Lord, I look to you for everything, trust you for all things. And I trust you for this congregation. I trust you for the gospel. I trust you for strength. I trust you for this body of believers to cause us to grow, to cause us to live to your glory, live to your honor, to magnify your grace in our bodies and in our attitudes and in our actions. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.